the random jottings of Hinge and Brackets with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackets. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in Nunton at 70.
Just like dear Mr. Hardcastle in Oliver Goldsmith's clever little comedy, She Stoops to Conquer. I love everything that's old. Old friends, old times, old mammals. Old books, old wine, even old Evadne. But what I'm especially fond of are my old diaries. Not just because they're so witty and entertaining, which they are, but because they recall to mind so many good friends and good times. Well, I never write about the bad times. Well, there's never any need. Not with Evadne around to constantly remind me. No, I don't normally look at my diaries when Evadne is about, because she always wants to know what's in them, and she nags and nags until I tell her, and then she says it wasn't worth knowing anyway. However, one morning a few weeks ago, I made the mistake of reading an old diary while we were both having our 11s. And, of course, it wasn't long before we were at loggerheads. Well, I don't care what you say, Evadne. In 100 years' time or so, this pathetic little scribble of mine, as you call the record of my life, may rank with the Greville Memoirs, Sir Walter Scott's Journal, and the Diary of Fanny Burney.
I hardly think so, dear. There is one significant difference between their journals and yours.
What's that?
Theirs aren't boring.
Boring?
Well, empty, then.
Empty?
Oh, Hilda, do stop repeating every word I say. I just mean there's nothing in them.
Nothing in them.
Hilda, stop repeating. Your scratty little diaries tell us nothing of the great events of the time. It's all just tittle-tattle about yourself.
Well, Pepys's diary is all just tittle-tattle about himself, isn't it?
No, that's where you're wrong. Pepys wrote a complete picture of his age. For one thing, it contains a wealth of information about the Navy.
Believe me, Evadne. My diaries are not lacking in information about the Navy.
No, but yours are only personal details about sailors. And then again, Pepys described the Great Fire of London and the Great Plague.
Well, they were before my time. I bet your diary's full of them. Especially the plague. Oh, that would have appealed to you, yes. You look as if you've dressed for it.
There you are, you see. You take an occurrence of great historical importance and you bring it down to a matter of clothing.
That's not true.
All right, then. All right. That diary you've got there, what year is it?
1953, I've told you.
Right. Now, have a look at your entry for June the 2nd.
June the 2nd.
Yes, what happened on that day?
Let me see now. Yes. Oh, yes, we went to London. I was wearing... it doesn't matter what I was wearing. We bought some sandwiches on the train.
What sort of sandwiches?
I don't know.
How much were they?
It doesn't say.
Well, there you are, you see. I mean, two interesting little bits of social detail totally omitted. And when we got to London, where did we go?
To Westminster.
Ah, oh, that's more promising.
And then to the Red Lion in Parliament Street.
Sorry I spoke.
We were taken there by Hugo and Gregory.
And who were Hugo and Gregory?
I haven't the foggiest idea.
And doesn't that precious diary of yours tell you who they were?
No, it does not. All it says here is, I shall never forget them. Anyway, they took us to the Red Lion for champagne and whatnot.
And what about the Queen?
What Queen?
Ah, Queen Hilda. Queen Elizabeth II, you must know the one. What do you say about her?
I don't say anything about her, dear. She wasn't in the Red Lion.
Now, I wonder what she was doing that day.
Well, if you want to find that out, you'll have to look at her diary, not mine.
Hilda, June the 2nd, 1953, was Coronation Day, and you haven't even mentioned it.
Well, there's no need to get so het up about it. Someone's bound to have made a note of it somewhere.
But I mean, you haven't even recorded your impressions of it, have you?
Well, how could I? The coronation took place in Westminster Abbey and things. I was down the street in the Red Lion, so you. And you were Squiffy.
How do you know that?
Because it says so here.
Where?
Here. Yeah. It says, even Evadne seemed to be enjoying herself.
It doesn't say I was Squiffy.
No, but if you gave the impression you were enjoying yourself, you must have been.
I'd burn those diaries of yours if I were you. Oh, don't you mind posterity thinking you were a complete blithering idiot? There's nothing in them of the slightest interest or use to anyone.
Well, that's just where you're wrong, clever clogs. What about this little note here? Scribbled at the top of this page. Nunton 4040.
What about it?
You remember Nunton Obstock, don't you? He was the baritone with the Rosa Charles Opera Company all those years. Dear Nunton. Oh, 6'2", 14 stone, and a beautiful dancer. Oh, he was always so light on my feet.
I remember Nunton Obstock perfectly, Hilda. But as usual, I have failed to see the significance of your diary entry relating to him.
Well, obviously, that was his 40th birthday. Mm. And that was in 1953. Which means that next Thursday he'll be 70. Now, to you, Evadne, that may seem no age at all. Most people would think it worthy of a special celebration. And I suggest that we celebrate it. I bet no one else will remember. We'll give him a surprise party.
He could be dead.
That's right. Look on the bright side.
I mean, anyway, how will we find him? It must be, oh, 30 years or more since we last saw Nunton.
Ah, but I still have an address book, I'm sure. Now, where was it? Let me see. Yes. Now, it was somewhere near Billericay. I do remember that. He shared a house with old Boothby Pagnell, the cellist in the orchestra. Remember him?
Well, of course I do.
Ah, here we are. Yes, yes, yes it is. Well, that's it then. We'll drive down on Thursday, and we'll take all sorts of gifts and goodies. And we'll give dear Nunton a birthday to remember. Ah, that sounds like Maud. I say that, Nick. Mm-hmm. Why don't we ask Maud to come to Nunton's with us?
Well, to give but three reasons. Because she'll be tiresome going, tiresome there, and tiresome coming back.
Oh, don't be so tiresome yourself, Evadne. Nunton was always rather fond of Maud. Shh, she's coming.
Good morning, Dame Elder. Doctor.
Good morning, Maud.
Hello, Maud there. Now, you remember Nunton Obstock from the old Rosa Charles days, don't you?
I should say I do, Dame Elder. He was always badgering me.
I bet you used to enjoy that.
Whatever give you that idea? Always wanting me to wash his bits and bobs he were.
He was a very fastidious man, Maud. He'd like them to be clean. It's his 70th birthday next week. And we thought we'd all pop over and give him a little surprise party.
Oh!
Is that curious sound you're emitting meant to mean something, Maud? Or are you merely perfecting your impersonation of a tugboat?
I give my Arthur a surprise party one time, Dame Mildred.
Did he enjoy it, dear?
I don't know. He's always refused to speak of it since. Didn't speak at all for 3 old months.
Why ever not, dear?
On account of his having broken his jaw when his foot went in the trifle.
It was a wild party, was it, Maud?
No, t'weren't no such thing, Doctor. The only one as were wild was Arthur.
Well, what on earth happened, dear?
Well, it were my Arthur's birthday, you see, Dame Elder, and I decides to give him a surprise. So he hides in a cupboard in the kitchen.
And was everybody else hiding?
Oh, nobody else there, Day Milder. Only me. Crouching in a cupboard in the dresser, do you see? And in me hand, the monkey wrench I'd bought him as a present.
I see. Not a very big party then, Maud.
It don't have to be a big one to be a surprise, Doctor.
No, I suppose not. Especially if you're there with a monkey wrench in your hand.
I'd a special cake baking in the oven for him. And I'd made him a special jelly in the shape of a washing-up bowl.
This may sound a silly question, Maud, now. But why was it in the shape of a washing-up bowl?
Because I'd made me trifle in the jelly bowl, David. And the only other bowl we had was being used, elsewhere.
Oh, I see. Yes, well, I fancy we better not go into that, dear. Yes.
So I were crouched there, all ready to leap out and shout happy birthday, when I hears my Arthur. And it's then as I realized it weren't going to work.
Why ever not, Maud?
I were stuck. I'd been in me cupboard so long, d'ye see, as me legs had gone to sleep. And I couldn't open the door. Help! Help! I shouts. Who's that? Shouts I. Me, you great daft lummock! Shouts I. Who else would be hiding in your dresser?
They're so obtuse, can't they?
Well, he opens the door and he grabs me arm and he tugs. And the old darn dresser come away from the wall. And half the wall comes with it. And my Arthur, leaping back afore it falls over on his head, steps right in the trifle where I put it to be safe.
Didn't you see it, Maud?
Well, it was supposed to be a surprise event, then.
Sounds as though it was, as well.
Wow. Trifle done half make your foot slip, eh? They were all over the place. Cannon in here, cannon in there. And just as I steps out the wreck of me cupboard, he cannons into me. And that's what made me drop the monkey wrench on his foot. Up comes that foot, and away slips t'other. And off he shoots again like a cork out of a pop gun. Bang! Head first into the cooker.
So that's how he got his jaw broken, was it, Maud?
And that's when I first sees the smoke coming from the oven. Well, I quite forgot his cake, hadn't I? Not as it mattered with his jaw broke. Still, look on the bright side, I says to Arthur, as he were waiting for the ambulance to come. At least you done no harm to the jelly. And by the looks of things, that's all you'll be eating for a while, you clumsy old nollock.
Well, Hilda, do you still wanted to come with us to Nonsense next week?
Oh, I'd love to come, Dame Hilda. Wild horses wouldn't take me away.
Now, there's a tempting thought.
Well, over the next few days, there was much argument over the sort of presents we should take to Nunton. I was all for taking him some small antique. But Evadne said we should take him sensible things. A sack of coal, a 5-gallon drum of paraffin, a net of sprouts. In the end, we compromised. She took him socks, mittens, thermal underwear, and a muffler. I took him a Berlin wool smoking cap and an Ashanti traveling hammock. Maud, quite inexplicably, took him a watering can. Thus laden, we drove on the Thursday to Billericay, and come mid-afternoon found ourselves at Nunton Odstock's front door. Ah, looky, Batley, there he is, in the front room window. I can just see him through that little gap in the net curtain. He's on the phone.
I can see that, Hilda.
I say, he does look a bit gray and tired, don't he, Dame Hilder?
Hasn't even shaved by the look of it, poor old chap.
Who do you think he's on the phone to then, Hilda? The Samaritans.
Oh, yes, darling, very much indeed. It was really one of the nicest birthdays I've ever had. Oh, it must have been 4 o'clock this morning before I finally hit the hay. Know what I had for breakfast? One stuffed olive. I found it in the light bowl. Yes, when I was fishing the ping pong balls out. Fun, wasn't it? No, mercifully, Boonsby's gone off to Cambridge for the day, so I'm just going to potter about until I feel like living again. I'll have to go, darling. There's some idiot hammering at the front door. See you very soon. Bye for now. All right, I'm coming.
You just watch it, Abney. This is going to be such a surprise for him.
I think I can hear him coming, Dame Hilder.
I can't wait to see his face light up there.
Yes?
Well, remember us?
Yes, you're from the donkey sanctuary. I've got your deed of covenant all ready for you.
No, Nuntum. It's Hilda.
Hilda? Hilda Brackett.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious me. And Ethadne.
Yeah.
And Maud.
Yeah.
But, my darlings, it's been an absolute age. What in heaven's name brings you all here?
1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Hilda.
Remembered.
Well, of course, dear. I never forget an important anniversary. Well, you're only 71, aren't you? Are you on your own?
I am today, Hilda. Yes.
I felt everyone would have forgotten. People have such short memories, don't they?
Do you know, my father only remembered my mother's birthday twice in his whole life. Both times he forgot to buy her a present.
Well, do come inside.
Oh, lovely. Thank you, Numpton. Lovely, dear. Nice carpet.
Let me close the door. Now, would you mind very much if I ask you to remain in the hall for a moment or two? There's just a few things I must tidy up in the sitting room. I wasn't expecting anyone. Not today. I'll not be a jiffy.
Poor old chap. He wasn't expecting a no one. I wonder where Boothby is.
He's probably dead.
Why do you always think people are dead, Evadne? It's so morbid. Still, we'd better not mention it just in case he is. Evadne, dear, doesn't that look like cooked rice trailing up the stair carpet there?
Yes, it does, dear. Rice and sweet corn.
Perhaps he keeps chickens, Dame Hilda.
Oh, no, dear. Nunton would never keep chickens. No, he always considered them such dowdy birds. Does he? What can he be doing in that room?
If he's anything like my Arthur, he'll be looking for his teeth.
He's coming.
Now, come along in. Sit down, make yourself at home. Oh, it is most kind of you all, most kind. Do you know what I think of when I see the three of you sitting opposite me on that settee like that?
What, dear?
Winter in the potteries.
I told you to wear something brighter, Evadne.
Slush ankle deep in the high street in Stoke-upon-Trent. Hanley on the snow. And those theatrical digs behind the goods yard. Remember? Mrs. Bryce.
Lord, yes. Cockroach Cottage.
That's what we called it. It was an entomologist's dream. I can see us now, one Sunday, you three sitting in a row like that and me opposite, toasting cheese over a candle in our overcoats. We had to have the windows wide open so Mrs. Bryce wouldn't smell anything. Well, nothing untoward like food.
That's right. She wouldn't allow cooking in the rooms, would she, Mrs. Bryce?
She'd not allow cooking in the kitchen, neither.
Her poor husband lived on cold meat and pickles, and she wondered why he was sharp.
Oh, isn't this wonderful? Old times, eh? Isn't it such a shame that Boolby's not here? He would have adored this, you know.
I always liked Mr. Pagnell. He were always a perfect gentleman where I were concerned, unlike some I've knowed. I always used to say to him, Mr. Pagnell, I'd say, you keep your mind as clean and tidy as I try to keep Mr. Oddstock's tights.
I was always deeply appreciative of the way you handled my tights, Maud.
Has Boothby been gone very long then, Manton?
Since about 9 o'clock this morning.
Oh, good heavens. Well, where is he then? Upstairs.
Cambridge.
Cambridge? Don't you, have anywhere locally?
He always liked Cambridge.
Oh, well, of course, if that's where he wanted to be. And they've taken him already, have they?
No one took him. I put him on a bus.
On the bus? Poor soul.
It's so much cheaper than hiring a car.
Yes, I mean, I can understand that, but, I mean, you wouldn't think that the conductor would want that sort of thing on board, would you? I mean, not on a bus.
It's no problem. Just stick it under the stairs. Boothby's got it all down to a fine art now. He gives regular cello recitals in Cambridge these days.
Cello recitals? Oh, so he's still with... he's still with you? Oh.
Yes, indeed, he's in fine fettle. Now, I'm going out to make us all a pot of tea, and I'll see if I can rustle up a biscuit or something. Won't be a jiffy.
Oh, bless him. I say, now, that idiot, while he's out, have a look and see what that piano sounds like. A bit of music might make things seem a little more festive.
Say, Dame Elder.
What, Maud, dear?
There's a bottle under the settee. My foot's just touched it.
What sort of bottle, Maud?
I don't know. I just heard it clink. Should I have a look?
Well, mind you don't get caught at it, dear. That might have been what he was doing while we were waiting in the hall.
Here. It's a champagne bottle. But it's empty.
Well, that's a relief.
I say, Hilda, just listen to this. There's something very wrong with the piano. I'll have a look inside.
Oh, poor old Nanton. He probably can't afford to have it seen to, you know.
Good heavens.
Is it bad?
You could say so. Just look what's in here. Paper hats, paper plates, what's left of a bowl of cold risotto, half a dozen false noses and tweakers, and a few ping-pong bowls, a lump of icing, and a shoe.
Just like the inside of your handbag.
And just look at all these birthday cards.
Birthday?
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Those cards. So you have discovered my little secret, have you? I'm afraid it was yesterday.
And where did you hold the party, dear? In the piano?
I told you your diary was useless, Hilda. It's useless for anything. It's even more useless than I thought it was.
I can't think what that entry meant then. It was just written on top of the page, Nunton 40, on what I now know to have been the day after your 40th birthday.
Oh, I see. Well, I think I can help you there, Hilda. You may remember, at that party, you asked me to lend you £40.
Oh, heavens. And the next day I made a note, Nanton 40, to remind me that I owed it, and then promptly forgot.
Yes, for 30 years.
Which just goes to prove that what I said about your diaries was right, dear.
And what was 30 then, Nick?
They ought to be burnt.